Right after that, his spirit shot out of his chest and swirled around the room and was just bouncing off the walls and was free. And the next thing I know, part of it went down the crown of my head and into my body, and the rest just flew out the window.
That was Mary Schlosser, live on stage at one of our Howl Grand Slams, and on today's episode, Seeing Ghosts. From NCPR and the Adirondack Center for Writing, this is The Howl, true stories, no notes, recorded live on stage in the North Country. I'm Ethan Shanty. I think the way that I best process my grief is through writing. When my mentor, Maurice Kenny, died, I was at something of a crossroads in life. I was pretty unhappy in my job, perpetually broke, didn't like where I was living or what I was doing, and in the months before that, I'd make periodic sojourns to Dr. Kenny's place in Saranac Lake. It was getting harder and harder for him to go outside in the winter, so when we visited, we'd drink coffee and talk about the books that we were reading, the poems that we were writing, and in those last few months, he was dragging a tube of oxygen behind him wherever he walked, complaining about how he'd rather be hunting wild strawberries. I remember the last time I saw him was at a hospital in Saranac Lake. It's actually the same hospital that my dad died at. And he was sitting in a chair, drifting in and out of sleep. When I came into his room, he pulled down his oxygen mask and he said to me, "So this is the end." I really don't remember much else from that interaction. You know, it had shocked me so much hearing him acknowledge that he was dying. And he didn't seem so much sad about it as he was kind of reluctantly resigned. I'd never been in a room with someone who knew that they were going to die. I didn't go to Maurice's funeral, but up in Potsdam, where he taught, some friends and I held a memorial service, more or less a tear-filled open mic night. And after that, I started dreaming about him. A lot. There were dreams of seeing him on the street waiting for a bus, dreams where he was sitting at the table with a steaming cup of coffee, his head resting on his chin while observing birds flitting around the porch. And one time I woke up and I saw him in the corner of my room, standing in the dark. When I turned on the light, he was gone. It was my brain playing tricks on me, but it was potent and heavy nonetheless. And that was the last time I dreamt about him for a while. I used those visions and those dreams about him to write a song for my band. We called it Dead Letter Sent after his first book. And it felt good to have a place for my grief. And it felt good to be able to yell it into a microphone. And eventually, I felt like we didn't really need to sing that song anymore. I felt like the wound had closed over just enough that I could approach those memories of our time together in peace and reverence. I didn't need to yell about it anymore. Mary Schlosser joined us live on stage to talk about her own path through grief and the unexpected way that she kept in touch with her husband after his death. Here she is live on stage at one of our Howl Grand Slams.
So it was the first week of my sophomore year in college, and it was a beautiful day. I remember the blue sky and looking up at the sky, and at the same time, I was walking into my dorm, and I collided with another student. And after we stepped back and recovered a bit, I looked up at him, and he was really good looking. And he looked down at me and said something cheesy like, "Whoa, what's your name?" And I managed to tell him my name and get his name. And then I stood there as he walked away, and I said something really cheesy to myself. I said, "I'm gonna marry that guy." So fast forward 5 years, and I married that guy. And we were enjoying our first year of marriage. Unfortunately, during that first year of marriage, we also found out that Mike was dealing with a terminal illness. So the doctors couldn't say when, they couldn't say how, but they were not optimistic. There was only so much they could do, and they would do whatever they could. But they encouraged us to make the most of our time together. So we did. And it was hard and wonderful at the same time. We had 15 years together. And Mike was mostly healthy. He did get sick at times, and he would recover. He outlived a lot of projections of how long he would live. And we made it through, and we made the most of those 15 years. Unfortunately, after those 15 years, Mike got sick. And this time, weeks went by, months went by, seasons went by, and he wasn't getting better. The illness was getting stronger, and Mike was getting weaker. So, we had a conversation, and I asked him, if you go, when you go, could you please come back to me if you can and just let me know if you're okay? And he agreed, and we made that pact. So on the last day of Mike's life, as he was breathing his last breaths, I had one hand on his shoulder and one hand on his arm. And I stood there and watched him take his last breath. And right after that, his spirit shot out of his chest and swirled around the room and was just bouncing off the walls and was free. And the next thing I know, part of it went down the crown of my head and into my body, and the rest just flew out the window. And strangely enough, I didn't think that was weird. I thought that's what happened when someone dies. So I was so thankful because for the first time in so many months, Mike was no longer trapped in his body that was so racked with illness and pain. And I found myself actually smiling a bit and just so thankful. Little did I know that grief was waiting for me right around the corner. And for those of you that haven't experienced grief, for me, it was so deep and so wide and so incredibly painful. Everything hurt. It hurt to breathe. It hurt to sit, to stand, to eat, to drink, to talk to someone, to be quiet, that every day was just so long and hard to get through. And I found myself so thankful at the end of the day to sit down on my bed and have the opportunity to go to sleep, to forget a little while about what life looked like for me, to forget what we'd gone through, and to maybe pretend that life was the way it was before Mike died. So one night it occurred to me where I said to Mike, come to me in my dreams if you can, Mike. And so I experienced that he did. There were times where I had these beautiful dreams. He'd come, and it was just so peaceful, and he was not like he was here, but he was at peace and not in pain. And it helped me get through those long, dark days, knowing that I could escape into the dreams at night. And then I got an idea one night where I sat down and I said, Mike, don't come to me in my dreams tonight. Take me to where you are. So I laid back in bed, and I relaxed, and I remember laying on my back, peaceful, comfortable, closing my eyes, And after a bit of time, I felt like my body was no longer resting on my bed, but I was floating. And the room was still around me. The walls, I could sense the walls and the bed beneath me, but I was lifted up. And then I saw just, words can't really describe, like this, close as I can come to it, is this incredibly beautiful sky with these fireflies kind of flashing about. And beyond the physical beauty of it was the oversense and overwhelming sense of love. It was almost too much to bear. It was all around and in me and around me, and it was spectacular and terrifying at the same time. Mike died in 2002, and I've had a lot of years to reflect on that experience. And sometimes I think the mind is so wonderful to help us heal and to get us through what we need to do that it takes us places. And then there's times where I say, that was so much more. And I can tell you, since that experience, I've never asked to be taken where Mike has been taken. I feel he kept his part of the bargain, and there's only so many of those encounters I can handle in this lifetime. Thank you.
That was Mary Schlosser, live on stage at one of our Howl Grand Slams back in 2019. I want to thank you very much for choosing to spend a part of your day listening to the Howl podcast. There's lots of other episodes to listen to. We've got plenty available wherever you get your podcasts and at ncpr.org/Howl. If you check out our website, make sure that you throw a few bucks in the pot and support this station. Everything that we do is made possible because of your support, including the Howl podcast. The show is written, produced, and edited by me, Ethan Shanty. Editorial supervision by David Summerstein. Doyle Dean is our production manager. Bill Hanel is our digital services director. And Caitlin Kelly handles our social media. Our theme for the show is by famous letter writer of Plattsburgh. Coming up on next week's episode.
And then I say, you know what? We're not in the Adirondacks. I mean, do we really need to do a bear bag? It's March. What's the worst that can happen? And then at 3:00 in the morning, those words wake me up. Bob, did you hear that?
For North Country Public Radio, I'm Ethan Shanty. This is NCPR.